Hey Dhamma friends, we have come to the second Dhamma discussion of this English medium retreat. So we'll start with the written questions.
Bhante, we have 8 questions today, mix of Dhamma and meditation experiences.
Yes.
Dear Venerable Bhante, I must start thanking Most Venerable Dhammajiva Thero and you as well. On that note, I would like to write a few words about my experience of practicing walking meditation of the last 2 days. Walking meditation. Primary object, feet. Experience, I initially started labeling my feet as left and right. Then, after about 20 minutes, that was stopped by the sensual feelings that I got through my rough skin on my both soles. Thereafter, all I could feel and notice was the touch of both feet on the gross sand and pebbles, and then the softer sand as well. This way, I kept being aware of my pains and such certain feelings on the skin of my soles. Meanwhile, after about 10 minutes or so, I was well aware of the subtle movements as well, which happen in between the above phenomena. Example, I raised my left foot from the ground with some sand and small pebbles stuck in between my toes, and when was moving forward, they all slowly and rhythmically were dropping and falling off my foot. As a next step, I noticed the same foot landing, touching the ground, making one step forward complete. The same way, I noticed my right foot, but this time no labeling at all, which had temporarily stopped the inner chatter as well. And I could focus on this with certain attention stealers like noises, momentary teleporting of my monkey mind, etc. Anyhow, I managed to get back on the move each time, sometimes easily and sometimes hard. That happened for about 45 minutes, and I was humbly feeling happy about how it worked to maintain my focus on the primary object throughout. May you be happier.
Yeah, I think this is how we have to, in a way, continue, because sometimes we are able to capture the object or to keep with the object, and sometimes the attention drifts, sometimes it distracts. And once we recognize, okay, mind has distracted, mind has shifted, we have to gently take it back. So one important thing is we should not make any new negativity out of this incident without sort of cursing ourselves, or without thinking that I can't do this, or I am in a bad situation or something like that. Simply recognize, okay, at the moment mind is distracted. That's the nature of the mind. So it cannot still stay with a single object, because this single object is a fairly boring object. It's not something interesting object, very neutral object. Actually, Buddha has given it purposefully, because this neutral object does not involve any kind of agitation. It's a very, very, very simple object. And again, there is no any defilement associated with it, and help us to come back to the very ground level. So whenever we are in a extremely happy mood, or on the other hand, when we are in a sorrowing mood, then we are in the both extremes. So these are the extremes. But when we are experiencing some kind of this kind of a neutral object, so we are in a kind of a equilibrium in the middle, where there is no agitation. So it's being in this middle, we interpret as boring, kind of boredom. So whenever we come to that kind of a situation, so I need to agitate myself, or I need to be happy. So I am calling my friend, I am switching on the TV, I am switching on the radio, I am taking a newspaper. We are always missing this middle point. So that is what we think, that enjoyment. Whenever we feel that we are in the middle range, that is the neutral feeling, so we always want to skip that. So Buddha helping us to come back again and again to this very neutral, simple feeling. So it needs effort. And now this explains how she or he is feeling the sensations in the soul. So there are, like explained, you can see the change in the sand pebbles and all these things, but rather you can come back to yourself inside the skin, what is happening. In the sense, now when your foot is touching the ground, see what is the feeling inside yourself, inside your soul. Okay, it may be you are feeling some roughness, maybe feeling some hardness, maybe feeling some softness, or maybe if it is somewhat cool surface, maybe you feel a little cold or heat. All these things you are internally feeling. So draw your attention to the inside, and not necessary to go to the right, the external side on the for the moment. See, the externally, you, when you are walking on the sand path, you feel one way. When you are walking in tile path, you feel another way. When you are feeling walking in a coir mat, you may feel another way. So likewise, different textures are there. So you this feeling also changing. So you can keep your attention on these different sensations, different feelings, and maintaining that actually helps to reduce sensual desire, the kamachanda. Lesser kamachanda, more you will be able to be with this very neutral feeling. If you are successful in maintaining your attention continuously from this end to the other end, again from that end to this end, complete cycle, that indicates within this whole cycle there is no kamachanda happened. So the sensual desire is the one keeping us always to the descent, that object. It's asking always some variety, rather than just keeping you on the same kind of neutral object. So once you are able to subside all these hindrances, then you will be able to successfully be with this entirely neutral, in a way boring kind of an object. And at that time, the mind does not ask anything. So that's the beauty. So once you, at the beginning, it's like a struggle. And later on, once the mind recognizes that being with this very neutral object is kind of a calming, and there is no any burning, it's kind of a no friction at all, just being with it. And once the mind recognizes that, then even if it drips, it come back again. Because he understand whenever it shift to the outside, there is something burning. Happens once it shift. But being with this very neutral feeling, then mind recognize, okay, I am comfortable. There is no burning, there is no friction. I can comfortably be with this very neutral feeling. So in a way, we can explain this like in a kind of a sensitivity of the mind. So at the beginning of your meditation, the minds are very gross. Say, we need very, very gross sensual pleasures to be happy. As a beginner, when someone is coming to the meditation, so he needs very gross sensual pleasures to be happy. But more and more you develop mindfulness, your mind becomes more sensitive, refined. And then even these very little sensations make you happy. Just a little little wind just touching your skin can make you happy. Just a little sound of a bird can make you happy. Just a fragrance of a little, say, flower can make you happy. Just a noise of a monkey even can make you happy. So likewise, the mind kind of opens up, and its sensitivity level increases, and you don't need much to be happy. And even when someone is meditating, you can be happy. Even when someone is simply being successful, you can be happy. So likewise, you are now in a different domain where your happiness is available readily with little things. Then you can comfortably be with your meditation, and you are succeeding in it. And this is how it is evolving.
This is by the same yogini, her sitting experience. Dear Venerable Bhante, I would like to jot down my meditation experience as follows. Sitting. Primary object, in-breath and out-breath. Experience. While I was sitting, I was focusing on my in-breath and out-breath. When I inhale, my in-breath felt cold and my out-breath was warm. Sometimes I noticed that my in-breath was shorter than the out-breath. Whenever I breathe in, I felt my in-breath air touching my nostrils and slowly moving inside my nose. Then I felt my lungs getting puffy and they filled with and they filled with in-breath, which made my chest move forward a bit. The next moment, my out-breath came out through my lips, and my chest had lesser volume then than the previous moment, which made my chest go backwards. This way, I could maintain my awareness for about half an hour until I opened my eyes to adjust my posture. Secondary object. Now my attention being on my posture, I closely observed myself. First thing I noticed was how I have made myself still, sitting in a comfortable posture after so many efforts and adjustments. I started slowing, seeing myself as a gradually growing clear mirror image. For considerable thought moments, I kept this image staring at myself in my attention. Another moment, this image vanished in a semi-clear way, and suddenly a sharp pain was growing around my spine. When I was carefully observing that, it also disappeared slowly. This way, the sense of pain helped me move my awareness from head to toe. On and off, throughout this whole innocent effort, some distant and close noises, smells, early movements took my attention back for few split seconds, and I could get back to my object that I was observing, within brackets, breath. May you be blessed by the Triple Gems.
One small thing I thought of correcting, say when you are observing breath, so keep your attention at the nostril, not necessarily go to the chest level. So this report says that she is observing the chest, the pressure happens on the chest. So this can lead to some complexities in the long run. So therefore, we have to keep the attention at the nostril, and we are not moving with the breath. So you can actually move with the breath to the chest, and you with the out breath you can move even out, but rather we are maintaining our attention at the nostril, and that attention is not moving. Breath may be moving, that attention we are maintaining, keeping at the nostril. While maintaining our attention at the nostril, we encounter in-breath and we recognize, this is the beginning of the in-breath, this is the middle of the in-breath, this is the end of the out-breath, and it has gone. You are still maintaining the attention same place at the nostril. Now you feel the beginning of the out-breath, middle of the out-breath, end of the out-breath. It too has gone. You are still maintaining your attention at the nostril. So this is a simple technique that we have to employ. And later on, once you develop a fair amount of mindfulness using breath, so suppose you can now maintain that concentration. Say, for example, 15 minutes, you can maintain your attention at the nostril. There are no distraction, and breath has become utterly, extremely subtle. So you can't even recognize whether it is in-breath or out-breath. So there is some sensation is there, and you can simply maintain your attention at the nostril. So that is, this indicates now you are in some high concentration level. We can simply call it as excess concentration. So this is fair enough to even move to vipassana. And at this level, while you are maintaining this concentration, assume that you feel certain sensations throughout the body. They are naturally available for you. Then you can focus your attention to some one of those sensation. It may be even a feeling, maybe a sensation. So you can recognize, you can select whatever the most prominent sensation among many sensations, and you are selecting that sensation, and now you are trying to observe that sensation. Suppose there's a particular sensation available at the knee, say right knee, and you are shifting your attention from the nostril to the knee, and you are starting to closely observe that. As a habit, mind can shift to the nostril, but you have to return back to the knee. Now the working place is knee, the sensation available at the knee, and you are again and again you are observing, you are investigating what is happening there. So this is how you have to slowly start observing these different sensations, and slowly you will be getting to dhatu manasikara, and this is how you have to move. And sometimes for certain yogis, while you are maintaining your attention at the nostril, after 15 minutes, certain rapturous feelings can arise. You might feel like floating, certain blissful feelings can arise. So you can use that even as the object of your attention. Then you are in the Vedanupassana. So that I think I have covered in Anapanasati Sutta, where Buddha is telling, Piti pati sangvedi asa sissamiti sikkati. Sukha pati sangvedi asa sissamiti sikkati. When you are maintaining your attention at the nostril and you are doing Anapanasati, but once you calm down breath, you can understand now body feeling very kind of light. You feel certain waves are coming and going. You feel the goosebumps. So likewise, some happy feelings are available, and you can use them as your primary object now. So these are different sites that the yogis can go on. So as we have to recognize which path we are moving, and accordingly we can apply mindfulness.
Bhante, this yogi has given four questions and asked clarification for all four, but he wanted me to read one by one.
Yeah.
Respected sir, is it necessary that while inhaling in and while exhaling out needs to be chanted in the mind while meditating?
What chanted?
When he's inhaling in breath, out breath, like that. He wants to know whether it has to be chanted inside.
So that we sometimes call as labeling or noting. That's what.
Yes, yes.
No, actually, it's not a must. Only thing is that a beginners can use that technique in order to maintain your attention thoroughly on the in breath and out breath. Suppose you are successful in doing that, then you have to drop this noting. Say, for example, at the beginning, your mind is distracting, so it does not like to be with the breath. So what we do is, when he is being with the breath, and once you recognize this is the in-breath, we are mentally confirming it, this is the in-breath, using a label. The label is in-breath. So we are mentally verbalizing it, talking it or calling it. And this is the in-breath. You are confirming. And then you are recognizing the out-breath, you are confirming it, this is the out-breath. So likewise, this in-out, in-out can be used to improve your mindfulness. But later on, once the mindfulness is well established, you don't need it. You simply have to drop it, otherwise you can't refine your mindfulness. You yourself will understand this calling, this labeling is becoming a burden now. It is a little heavy to the mind, and at that time you have to drop it, and you simply have to be with the feeling. You simply have to be with the sensation. That's more than enough.
Is it necessary that in addition to chanting, I mean its labeling, focus needs to be given to tip of the nose, top of the lip, or any other point while meditating?
Yeah, we are maintaining one of these positions, but you can't recognize the exact point at the beginning, because your mindfulness is not yet refined for you to recognize the exact place. So therefore, if you are a beginner, don't try to too much exert effort to find out the exact point. Rather, you can simply maintain your attention at the nostril, say in a particular area, in a 1-inch area, like 1-inch diameter area. That's more than enough. You are simply maintaining your attention at this nostril area. It is not an exact point, but an area. But later on, as your mindfulness developing, you will be able to recognize this very subtle point where the breath is really touching. And that may happen in the future. You don't need to worry about it. It may naturally happen.
While meditating, is it necessary to concentrate into the pause between in and out breath?
No, that also actually you can't... You can't do actually. You are simply recognizing in-breath and out-breath, and what you recognize is actually the gross part of in-breath, gross part of out-breath. This is the situation at the beginning. you can't see the very subtle parts available in the middle, available at the beginning and the end. So actually you are using this gross in breath and gross out breath as an anchoring point for establishing mindfulness. So more and more you establish mindfulness using these in breath and out breath, then we have to try to recognize how it is starting. It is not immediately starting, but it is natural, gradually starting. It starts with a very soft, gentle feeling, and then it is slowly improving, and then it is reaching the threshold. So at this threshold point only we recognize as a beginners. But when your mindfulness improves, you can understand, okay, it is not immediately starting, but rather it is slowly, gradually starting, and you are able to recognize even this very beginning. There was no in-breath, that is the gap. This question is telling that there is no in-breath, there's a gap, and after the gap, there's a beginning of in-breath, and then the middle of the in-breath, then the end of the in-breath, and then again a gap. And after that gap, there's a beginning of the out-breath, middle of the out-breath, end of the out-breath, then again a gap. So this is how it is developing. So you can't find out the gap immediately, but as an improvement of mindfulness, as a result of improved mindfulness, you'll be able to recognize the gap.
While lying down to sleep, is it okay if I concentrate on inhaling and exhaling so that I can do a lying down meditation while sleeping?
Yeah,
while going to sleep.
No problem. Yes, can.
What is the primary objective of meditation? There are two parts. Shall I read both parts at once, Bhante?
Yeah. Okay.
What is the primary objective of meditation? Can meditation prevent the rebirth of a thought process? If so, how? Please explain its feasibility. Thank you, Bhante.
Objective of meditation. So simply we can understand if the typical nature of the mind is simply grasping something happened in the past and something projected to the future. So this is the way of the mind. The typical monkey mind simply does not stay in the present moment, never very much stay in the present moment, rather in the past and the future. So we never live in that sense. We may be telling, okay, I have lived 70 years, but all these 70 years, I was in the past or in the future. So this is the nature of the mind. And again, it is mostly agitated, mostly under the influence of a lot of defilements. And all these defilements are taking us in a ride. So they are doing whatever they like. And mind becomes the victim of it. And we become the victim of it. And we are simply slaves to these defilements available in the mind. We are simply slaves to the craving inside the mind. Happening inside the mind. So this is the nature of the mind, the typical undeveloped mind. And again, it is distracting you. If suppose you are simply reading a book, you can't maintain your attention for a long time. Your again mind jumps to the past or to the future. So you can't concentrate. So likewise, the typical undeveloped mind has so much disadvantages, which is extremely harmful to ourselves. Suppose while on such situation, suppose you are dying. So you want to maintain your attention at some wholesome object, but you can't because your mind is not trained. It's an utterly untrained mind. So how are you going to tell what is the selection of your mind at your last moment? So you can't recognize. You can't tell, or you can't tell your mind or control your mind to pick or choose a wholesome object. So mostly it is going to the typical habitual object. Suppose you are a person who is easily get angry, for example. So your mind is always thinking about someone, know this one, know that one, and constantly thinking and being angry, being agitated, being resentful. The same thing happened at the last moment also. So you don't, you can't expect something blissful, marvelous can happen at the last moment. The same habitual object will be picked at the last moment also. So that's why typically said in the Dhamma, if one is with somewhat conceited, he will be a kukkura, I think a monkey. If he's utterly conceited, the next birth will be a dog. So likewise, some Dhamma verses are there. So the defilements telling us, or the deciding the next birth. So that's why the untrained mind is like a foe, like a evil, and like a enemy of yourself. So you think that it is helpful because it is appear like it is helping. It appears like it's always asking, okay, to watch a movie, or you go for a play, or go for a drink, or go for a party. It's always asking for this and that and all these things. But you don't know that you are being a slave to all this craving. You are being a slave to all these different types of defilements. But more and more you come back to the present moment, more and more you recognize the mechanism happening in the mind, how mind is somewhat tricking you, how mind is operated by certain unhealthy habits. So then your eyes will open. So this is how it is operated. My wish is not really I am wishing, but it is conditioned by the defilements. Say, I think that the way I behave is the way that I think, or this is I am operating, but it is not. But rather, it is being conditioned or influenced by these internal defilements. There's something happening. So these internal defilements actually is deciding the way we behave. So what is the solution? Solution is the meditation. So that is the objective of meditation. So it is a long-term solution. I mean, you can't immediately uproot the defilements. So it's a gradual process. You first have to establish mindfulness. You have to be aware of the situation. So rather than being a victim of different mind moments, going to the past and the future, you are now trying to little control the mind. Say you are doing walking meditation and you are trying to keep your attention at the left foot. Mind does not want to do that, because paying attention to left foot at your soul is a boring thing, boring task. So paying your attention to breath is a boring task. Mind does not want to do that at the beginning, because it is under the influence of defilements. It wants to go out and watch a movie, want to go out and play in the ground, or go to the supermarket and select different things. You might not even don't need them, but you are simply selecting them, buying them. So, but what we do is we understand these drawbacks in our mind. So we are trying to simply keep it in the present moment. So again and again we are doing it. Again and again we are doing it. So as a result, now suppose mind is not in the past, not in the future, but simply say 1 minute in the present moment, another minute in the present moment, another minute in the present moment. Then only you will understand, okay, I am simply living. Mind is not entangled. Mind is not talking. Mind is not storytelling, but rather mind is feeling something. Mind is aware of something which is happening in this very moment, at this present. Now only actually your eyes will open. You're like a blind person previously, taken by someone. Say for example, if you are completely blind, you can't walk by yourself. So someone is holding your hand and carrying you. You are crossing the roads and taking from this house to that house because you are blind. So similarly, our eyes are blinded with the defilements, mohandhakara, the darkness of the delusion. So that is, we are in a darkness, in a delusion, and we being driven by the defilements and we are blinded. But now, slowly, slowly, we are opening our eyes. We are being awakened now. We are awakening ourselves to the present moment. Be mindfulness means being awakened to the present moment. What is happening right now? So it's awake. You are not dreaming. Rather, you are awake. What is happening right now? So again and again, you are grounding yourself. You are understanding what is happening right now. Okay, now it's in-breath happens. Okay, out-breath happens. There's a feeling happens. There's a thought happens. So then and there, you recognize. Now there's a thought. Now there's a feeling. Now there's a, say, breath. So more and more you awake. More and more you will become mindful. Then slowly, 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 you start to live in the present moment and your mind becomes more clear, less defilements. It does not mean uprooted, but less influence from the defilements, temporarily subsided, and you can maintain your attention on a particular object if you wish. So the concentration has developed. So this developed concentration can be used to observe the phenomena. So things are happening in the present moment. Things really can't happen in the past or in the future. In the past, it has already happened. In the future, not yet happened. They are occurring at this very moment. So you are keeping your attention to observe, to investigate what is happening in this very moment, very present moment. And this will further improve your wisdom. So this will give you a lot of information that they are not constant, they are not permanent. So they are consistently changing, extremely transient. So these again will open the eyes, will give a lot of insights and further helps to clarify your mind. Clarity of mind further improves. Your attachments become less and you can now watch the mind further. So what are the tendencies in the mind? How I get attached? How I get caught up? So how the defilements are operating in the mind? So this is kind of an awakening process. So this is gradually happening through the meditation and then only you will understand these harmful tendencies in the mind, and more you recognize them, you simply letting them go. You simply drop them. If you love yourself, you have to protect yourself. You simply have to protect the mind. Because if your mind is trying to trick you, trying to deceive you, then you are becoming a fool. Rather, you being intelligent, you being wise, and you are trying to recognize what are the unhealthy habits in the mind. Says, for example, sometimes I don't want to think about something, but mind again and going and picking the same object. Internally burning, I want to stop it. I know it is not beneficial, but mind is going and picking that object. So we have to recognize that. We actually have to feel the suffering and then have to understand what is the cause of suffering. And once we recognize the cause of suffering, then simply we have to let go that cause of suffering. Once we are able to let go that cause of suffering, no suffering. So no suffering means somewhat happy. No tension, no agitation. We are in a somewhat in a comfortable situation. So that is why Buddha promises at the beginning of Satipatthana, Dukkha Domanassanam Atthangamaya. Suffering and the despair in the mind will be eliminated. Soka Pariddhavanam Samatikkamaya. The sorrow, lamentation, those will be invalidated or those will be uprooted. So one, the meditator becomes more and more comfortable, more and more at ease. No tension, no friction in the mind. Mind is fairly clear. Understand what is the situation of the mind. And even if mind go and grasp something, you immediately feel the tension building up. Immediately feel the suffering building up. And then starts to release it. Simply release the mind, remove the attachment and come back to this release state, free state, independent state of the mind. More and more one does it, So the clarity of the mind improves, spacious of the mind improves, so mind becomes at ease, so you will feel comfortable, you will feel less suffering. So this something that you, this tangible, you can feel it. It is not something you have to wait till the Maitreya Buddha to come. You can do it in this very life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Venerable Bhante, there are a lot of instructions on mindful eating, but I use this time for planning, social conversations, listening to sermons, business discussions, or talk about more tasty food.
That means while eating.
Yes.
Interesting.
Please tell me some benefits that can accrue due to mindful eating. Theruvan Saranai.
Mindful eating will help you to eat what is necessary. Otherwise, you don't know what you eat. So someone can even put some poison and that also you might eat. So you don't know. I mean, you are simply eating while watching the TV, things are going inside, you don't know. Some news is going on and you are simply eating and maybe someone is there and you can mix something, that also you are eating. And you don't know the amount, what, how much you have ate, and you can't taste the food, you can't enjoy the food, eating actually. But if you are mindfully eating, you can really enjoy. And you don't need to eat too much. Rather, you know the amount, the right amount. And again, if you go a little deeper, so simply eating with say, suppose you are simply greedily eating can leads to arise a lot of defilements. But if you are mindfully eating, you can simply make it a meditation. Say for example, you are simply mixing the food. So at that time, you are not thinking anything else. Rather, you understand you are mixing. You are with that very activity, mixing activity. And now you have mixed it up. Now you are lifting the food. Now you are in that process. Now you are opening the mouth and you are putting it inside. And then you are chewing and you are swallowing. And now this whole process, you can be aware. It's a very simple activity, helps you to develop a lot of mindfulness. Because you need to understand, there are certain activities requires a lot of mental involvement. Your mind has to get involved. At that time, sometimes we get lost in that activity. Say for example, you have to read a book. So at that time, you may be lost in the content of the book. Say you are typing in the computer. So you are fairly involved in this activity. Sometimes you can't maintain a lot of mindfulness. Rather, you get lost in the activity. But simple activities, say for example, you are simply doing the sweeping. It does not need a lot of mental involvement. You can simply allow the body to sweep and you can keep your mind empty if possible. Without talking, simply being aware of this activity. Simply very quiet mind, very simple mind, but the body is doing this activity and this simple quiet mind simply being aware of this process. Same thing can be used in eating as well, because you don't need to really think a lot while eating. Rather, you can simply allow the hand to properly take little by little from different vegetables, and then you mix it, and then you lift the food, and then you are putting inside the mouth, you chew it and swallow it. All these things are simple activities. Everything can be done very mindfully with a simple mind. Defilement free mind. So this really helps to calm down yourself. And so this eating process actually is another type of meditation. It's can't remember the name given. So there are different meditation techniques explained even in the Samatha side. So this eating process is actually considered as one type of another meditation. And again, this Mattanyutacha Bhattasming. So you know the right amount, you know the proper nutrition is one of the skill that Buddha is having. You know there are 15 special charana dhamma, vijja charana. In the charana, there are 15 qualities mentioned attributed to the Buddha. One such quality is mattanyutaca battasmin. The Buddha knows the right amount. So sometimes we think these are very trivial things. The amount of food and all what is necessary and all these things are trivial things. But it is not. Sometimes we eat too much. Sometimes we eat less. And sometimes we don't know what is the necessary, say, the nutrition. And so we sometimes are eating something harmful to ourselves. Say we are in a diabetic situation, but we are eating too much sugar. Easy example I have taken. So, but your mind is asking that. Always, I think most of you may know, diabetic patients are very like sugar. That is what they are asked, but it is not suitable for the body. So similarly, if we are simply following the habits, it may be harmful to ourselves. But if we are mindfully eating, we know what is useful, what is beneficial, what is nutritious, and all these things are involved in mindful eating.
Venerable Swamin Vahansa, when Bahiya was asked to Ditte Ditte Mattang Bhavisati, etc., in the name and form, within brackets Nama Rupa, the Nama, if taken as Vedana, Sanya, Chetana, Passa, Manasikara, at which of the above step does the above process stop if Ditte Ditte Mattang? Is it before Passa or after?
Actually, it's a little tricky question. So typically what happens is when we see something, say we get the detail of that object. Say for example, I am seeing this fan. So now I can read, okay, it is the brand name I can see. It is I can see the shape of the fan. I can see the whether it is old or new. All this identification, all these further details pointing out triggering certain defilements. I might like it. I want to have it available in my kuti rather than keeping it here. So better take it to my kuti. So now I like it. So you know now there are defilements start to working. So there's a little story being triggered by simply being greedy of it, being grasping of it. But if I simply stop at this Ditte Ditte Mattang, simply seeing is just seeing, so then I am maintaining some kind of a gap, maintaining some kind of a distance without allowing story or concepts being developed inside the mind. So conceptual proliferation will lead to defilements. Then I am becoming a victim to that proliferation. As I explained, so I am now thinking about how to carry it without your knowledge. How can I carry it to my room? So I am now thinking, you know, the story is going on in the mind. So planning and all these things, I am planning. So story is going on because I want to have it in my kuti. But suppose I am not doing that. Rather, I saw it, I understood, okay, it's a fan, doesn't matter. Stop, that's there, done. Mind has maintained its quietness. Suppose mind was still and I was able to maintain that stillness without going for proliferation. So then I am maintaining this Ditte Ditte Mattang Bhavissati. Where the mind was in a stillness without defilements, unattached state of mind, but now eye has opened and this vision has happened. I was able to recognize what it is, but mind was not agitated. Mind was not shifted. Mind has maintained its stillness. Mind was not disturbed. Similarly, say you are hearing something. Maybe a beautiful song. You might even carried away with the song, or you can simply keep the mind without being entangled with the song. So likewise to the tongue, to the body and all these things. So more and more you develop mindfulness, particularly when you are able to establish emptiness of the mind. the anisita state of the mind, unassociated state of the mind, where the mind can sustain its mindfulness without an object. So little advanced stage of mindfulness, where you are able to maintain mindfulness without any association of any other external object. Mind has its own clarity. Mind has its own awareness. And it is friction-free, in a very comfortable situation. No grasping, no tension, no friction, and it is at ease. And it is at ease, but very strong. Even the eye see something, mind is not wavering, mind is not shifting. It is maintaining this stillness. So this is the state that Buddha is sort of praising and asking Bahiya to maintain. Ditte ditta mattam bhavissati. Even you see something, you just maintain that to the level of seeing. Don't get mixed up. Don't allow the mind to get mixed up with this seeing. You may hear something. Don't allow the mind to get mixed up with this hearing. You might feel something. Don't allow the mind to get mixed up what is being touched. Like that. So maybe little thoughts coming from distant like, but don't go and proliferate what that thought has come. You are maintaining some kind of a comfortable situation in the mind. So at this time, actually there is no big Namarupa being shown to the Vijnana. Now you saw, say for example, Vijnana Paccaya Namarupa. And Namarupa Paccaya Vijnana. It has some mutual connection. The consciousness conditions the Namarupa, and Namarupa conditions the consciousness. It has the mutual relationship. Each one is helping the other person. But more and more mind come to this anisita state, unentangled state, emptiness, then this Namarupa is not established in the consciousness. Rather, consciousness is free. There is no distinction between the object and the mind. Rather, mind has some spaciousness, unentangled, unattached, non-grasping. So when the mind has grasped, then only consciousness has established on Namarupa. But when mind is unattached, then consciousness is not established on Namarupa. So this is how you need to understand this theory. So when Bahiya is told, okay, you become ditte ditta mattang, sute sutta mattang, mute muta mattang, vinyate vinyata mattang. So Buddha is asking, okay, you maintain this clarity of mind. Don't allow the mind to, or technically speaking, the vijnana, consciousness, to get established on Namarupa, rather having mind, the consciousness to be free, unestablished, no Namarupa. So then further and further, you can recognize the tendencies, the asavas, and then you can go for the higher vipassana. You are recognizing the various tendencies in the mind, and slowly removing those tendencies, removing the asavas, and coming to the asavakkhaya. We are uprooting the asavas. So that's why Bahiya was able to become enlightened. Yeah.
Venerable Bhante, why is it that you are telling us now that we will be reborn ugly if we shout at our husbands? It is now too late.
Too late, exactly.
Had we known, we might never have got married.
Really?
What can we do to reverse the process?
Simply divorce. Then your husbands will be more happy. Right.
Most venerable sir, after meditating Anapanasati with much experience, we will become more organized, which may change our way of life for better. Our mind will be disciplined in every way. But, Reverend Sir, can we end up sansara or get into the path sotapatti? Could you please explain this kindly? Blessings of Tisarana.
Yeah, actually it's a gradual process. You can't immediately become a Sotapanna or Arahant. Rather, Buddha says it's a step-by-step process. So that's why he's giving a very beautiful simile in the Paharada Sutta, where, you know, the sea, it is not immediately become deeper sea. Rather, you are reaching the beach and you are experiencing the waves. And you go further, you now feel the waves. And now your water has come to the knee level. Now water has come to the half body level. Okay, you are now in the shoulder level, and now you are going deeper and deeper, step by step, gradually, the sea becomes deeper, and ultimately it's extremely deep. Once you go to the middle of the sea, it's extremely deep. So similarly, Buddha says, his Dhamma is step by step taking us to the depth. So that is why Anupubba Sikha, Anupubba Kiriya, Anupubba Patipada. You are first establishing yourself on precepts. So you are taking the precepts, you are taking the morality. And based on the morality, Sila, you are developing the concentration, Samadhi. And using the Samadhi, you are developing the wisdom. So Anupubba Sikha, Anupubba Kiriya, there's a training at the beginning. You are restraining yourself, maintaining the sila and all these things. And Anupubba Kiriya, you are in a certain process of development. And Anupubba Patipada, there's a path to follow. Noble Eightfold Path. So everywhere you are developing step by step. So that's why there's another way, different way Buddha has explained. Another simile he has given, say, in the good old days, say, if there is a jewelry being become somewhat stained, then it is being given to a person, and that person putting again and again to different solutions, and it is doing the cleaning, and it is putting to another solution, it is cleaning, another solution, it is cleaning. So ultimately, due to these continuous processes, different processes going through the cleaning processes, this jewelry becomes very brilliant. It's like a new jewelry. Similarly, Buddha says our minds are typically corroded, like it's with a lot of defilements, and we are removing all these defilements little by little. Kammaro rajatasseva niddhame malamattano. Like this jewelry person who is cleaning the jewelry, this yogavachara, the practitioner, also little by little is cleansing the mind, little by little cleansing the mind. So therefore you simply have to continue the process. So you are maintaining your sila, you are developing the concentration, you are using that concentration to develop wisdom. And once you are doing this practice again and again, at a given time, there may be the eye-opening happen. So you don't know actually when it is happening, but you will understand that something is growing. Within a day, you can't recognize that. Say, after about, say, 6 months of practice, once you look back yourself, so you can understand, okay, my mind is not much distracted now. It likes to stay in the present moment. It may be less burning in the mind. It is now has little mindfulness available. Time to time, I can maintain this mindfulness continuously in a particular object. This object is not any agitating object, rather a very, very neutral object. Even in this neutral object, mind happily, easily can be maintained for longer time. Say 15 minutes, I can maintain this concentration. So more and more you develop, so this concentration being used to further develop the wisdom. So this wisdom development ultimately makes the release. So more the typically, till wisdom is not available, mind does the grasping. It's always holding something. But when you recognize what is being held is useless, so then why are you holding it? So mind will release it. So this is a simple technique Buddha is telling. So once the wisdom has developed, as a natural effect, mind will release. the Pali term yathabhuta jnana dasana nibbidathaya. So when one understand the reality, it generates some kind of a dispassion. You are not grasping, rather dispassion being arise. Viraga vimuchyati. Once the dispassion is there, the release will happen. So this is how the mind loses the grasping. So far mind was grasping, holding, clinging something, and he understand what is being holding, clinging is useless. It is not worthy of clinging. Once this potential has developed enough, it will release. So this is simply the process Buddha is explaining. So, I mean, we have to simply continue the path. So once it is being developed to some level, that breakthrough can happen. Yeah. So that's all the written questions we have received. So if you have any verbal question, you can ask. So all are released. Okay, then we'll, if there is no any other particular question, we'll stop here and we'll have the Dhamma sermon at 4 p.m. Yes. Thank you very much for attentive participation. Sukhi hotu.